Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge 30-30 Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 13. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Usher. Allie, how are you?
I don't know if I've ever been better entering into a podcast recording of the challenge. I'm willing to make a really hot take here and just say, bar none, that this is the best episode of the challenge that we've ever podcasted about.
Oh, my God. I love it. This is how I felt last week.
I know, but have you revised or do you still feel like
I think last week
is better?
It's so weird because this is basically like one long episode over 2 weeks. Like that's basically just the way this, like cutting out like I guess the first half of last week. So the last hour and a half was like one really good episode. So yeah.
I just think, yeah, no, I might not be able to have handled it if it was one episode, but I will say like, not a minute was wasted this week. Like for me, not a minute was slow. I was actually watching in like a study room at the law school because, you know, that's what they're intended for. With my headphones on. And my friend, after I took my headphones off to finish the episode, was like, what were you watching? Like, what was happening? Your physical reactions. My jaw was on the table during the chat, the elimination. Like, I just loved every second of this.
I love it. I was in on it. You know, even the little glimmer of the Redemption House wasn't even like a Mitch Watch thing. It was good to see. It was fun to see the people there. So I'm in on it. I feel like this is like what's the term when you like kidnapped by someone and then you like turn to like the kidnapper?
Stockholm
I feel like that's where
syndrome?
We are maybe with. Yeah, yeah. We have a little Stockholm syndrome. Yeah. With this season, we've just been so ingrained in it that we're just like growing to love it.
Can we just say, though, that had this series of episodes, the past two episodes, been a to be continued in an isolated season, like isolated and not this whole season of effed up formats, we would have been okay. I don't think a complaint would have been had if they poured this over two episodes, but like I'm still not willing to just like love the format because they gave us two really good episodes.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, the format obviously is atrocious, but that's like way in the past of complaining now. So now we just have to embrace the every other episode where something happens format. Although maybe the way this episode ended, it took, you know, 3 months, but it reset the season.
Well, we're about to get Redemption and Purge and all other bullshit. But speaking of embracing what happens, we have a number of 5-star reviews this week, always making me happy throughout the week. I will read the title of somebody who wrote a review on the reality TV wrap up. So thank you to Kay Berkick. One of the funniest 5-star review titles. It may not be objectively good, but I really enjoy it.
We really need to keep track of all these taglines because we could have like a clothing line with all of them.
Yeah, well, it would only be like us buying something. Maybe Plainview Sue would feel bad for us and buy something. But other than that,
right.
I don't
Kitty
think
purchase, all money is green.
Is that what Bananas tells himself? So we have some other reviews. Baseball is forever. I think I already thanked Stinky as my zombie, but always fun to say. Step Bros Rules and Sherry Baby 714. Thanks to everyone. We're eking closer to our goal of 205 star reviews by the end of the season. The season's helping us because it will never end. And you guys are helping us by joining the fam at robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. So thank you very much to everyone.
Although the word today is now, I think there is an end in sight about when the season may end.
Is so it because, are we jumping right to news?
We could jump, we could just jump to news if you want. We can mix up the order.
Let's jump to news. We do what we want.
Sure. So the news is there's another Pros versus Joes season, basically, of the challenge. I don't know what they're
Pros
actually calling it.
Pros versus Joes. Who are the Joes and who are the pros in that situation?
I mean, I guess like the challenge people would be the Joes, but what are they actually calling this one? It's not Champs
Champs versus Stars, and I'm going to add stars in quotes.
Okay. So yeah, so that the premiere date of that is November 21st. So that means unless we're going really haywire and having two seasons of the challenge going simultaneously, which I guess
while Ari the One goes, like, let's not forget that Ari the One is also airing.
That's very true. We're going to have every, maybe they'll just dump a Real World out of nowhere, just have all four going at the exact same time.
So, yes, it does seem like potentially this will coincide with the end of the challenge, which is fine, because I was going to ask you what we were going to do about Thanksgiving anyway, so that works. So we have Corey, CT, Zach, Wes, Johnny, and a light, heavily Photoshop-looking version of the four women. Emily, who I think everyone's excited to see back, Jenna, Ashley, and Anissa. There are five female stars. This is clearly when Camilla got clipped. Hosted by The Miz, which is, I think, the most exciting development of this entire show. For me.
Anytime The Miz is back in the challenge world, it's fun. He's great hosting the reunion, so.
I might watch this.
Oh, oh, I'm definitely going to watch it. I mean, I watched...
Well, I didn't watch the last one.
Oh, yeah. I watched that piece of crap, so I'll definitely watch this. Actually, I'll take that back. That wasn't that bad. It was actually... It was entertaining, but definitely wasn't that good.
Gold medalist gymnast Sean Johnson's going to be on. Josh Murray from The Bachelor is going to be on. Just skimming through. I think T.O. is there. I just recognize him, right? T.O. Some people from Total Divas. Someone from Wildin' Out. Of Olympic volleyball player Kim Glass, comedian Matt Riff or Rife, MMA athlete Michelle Watterson, rapper Riff Raff, which I believe he was on True G or something, like a great VH1 show. Oh, I'm looking this up. We shouldn't have done this at the top of the show. People are going to be pissed.
We'll just snip and clip, even though that won't happen, but I'll pretend it's going to happen.
No, we're definitely not going to do that. He was on, like, Gentlemen. Oh, from G's to Gents. MTV's reality show from G's to Gents. That's where we got introduced to Riff Raff, who has an MTV tattoo on his neck, if I'm recalling the right Riff Raff. And, yeah, it was actually a great show.
There you go.
It was hosted, I guess they had two seasons I must have watched, in 2008 and 2009. And, yeah, it was great. Okay, anyway.
Just LOL funny that they cut Camilla completely out of the photo. Just that's amazing.
As they should have.
Yeah.
So should we get into this episode? Or should we have more stuff, I guess, but
yeah,
just news in your life, maybe.
We could jump back in. Let's go back.
The first 2 seconds were the only time I was upset during this episode upset for bad reasons. Because going into this, them trying to recast like the energy and excitement of the deliberation of who just goes out totally blew that for me. Like the suspense from last week's episode did not carry over to me for the beginning of this one.
No, and it never does. And that's always the major point that is quite annoying. Because again, this took what, 2 minutes at the top of the show? Just clip that at the end and end it with like CT and Kara being like, oh, well, we'll show them because we're going to come right back and we're going to crush skulls. Boom. End of episode. That's all they needed to do, and then you would have good momentum leading into this week.
The best thing about CT, the only good thing about CT going to the Redemption House for me is the clip of him saying, I'm going to come back and rip your heads off.
Yeah, old school CT.
Yeah. Yeah, no surprises here. It did pay off, so good on you and everyone who expected that. It did piss me off when Jordan's like, this is the shot. I don't want to miss an opportunity. I'm like, we've watched you miss opportunity after opportunity when you're doing the double cross. So let's not act like, you know, this is your first taste of power.
Right.
Were you surprised?
Brandon, he's had the most power of anyone in the entire season.
Were you surprised that this was looked at? Like over the week, I was thinking like, I was a little surprised that this carried so much different weight, that we have people who are unwilling to turn against people suddenly willing to do so. Just because, you know, Redemption House is going to be a thing.
Yeah, but I think like with the discussion we had last week is that, you know, this isn't like a normal taking a shot or elimination where it's like one on one and chances are there may not even be like another good opponent going into the Redemption now, so they know, like, worst case scenario, it's at least a 1 in 3, which is definitely just at a number of states better than 1 in 2 for the person coming back. So at the end of the day, you just might as well take the shot, and then maybe you get someone else to trip up in elimination and you're guaranteed to get one good player out, which is kind of what happened for the guys.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know, it just like I just don't understand why this was such a clear, like, everybody uniting to take a shot as opposed to, like, week after week when you have the chance in the double cross. But I get it that it's, like, a little bit less precarious of a situation because there's no elimination they have to go through to get out.
Yeah.
But do you think Bananas was, like, a little bit hurt that he's not viewed at as the best guy?
I don't think so. I think this is, like, kind of Bananas's, like, underrated strength is the fact that people still overlook him to a T. It's like, you know, maybe like in a, if anything, like the biggest worry that you would have for going against Bananas isn't a final. I think your best bet is to take him out in elimination because that might not suit to his strengths, but his top strength is just his overall ability and his endurance in like in a final. So it is almost weirder that they wouldn't take the shot here because I think you would have a better chance of beating CT in a final.
Yeah, I agree that I would rather go one-on-one against Bananas in an elimination than CT and vice versa for the final. I think that's accurate. So that is interesting. I think CT, I don't have it in front of me of like who's won the most. CT, I think, has been picked first more in drafts. I don't know if he's won more challenges, but either way, you're right. It is to Bananas' benefit, but we have a couple questions. So John Densford says, does it make sense that the winning team voted CT out, but didn't touch six-time challenge champion Bananas? If you're going to take a swing at one, why not swing at the other? And I will say we got more questions this week about why didn't someone go for Bananas in both the elimination, the double cross, and this instant elimination. So this is going to be a theme throughout the episode.
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to even think about the pool of people that were kind of voting in, if anyone really had a strong tie to Bananas, and it really didn't. I don't know who would really go to back for him. If anything, I thought people would more go to back for CT. I think he'd be more like the likable person amongst that fivesome that was voting. So it is kind of weird that, yeah, like I thought CT would go get voted in, but I also thought it would be the wrong move.
Okay. So any more on why it would be the wrong move just than the final elimination version?
Yeah, I would rather try to take Bananas out before a final. And if CT's in the final, then I'll take my chances.
I do think that Bananas has more social capital than CT from these games, from like a strategic standpoint, alliance standpoint. Like, I just think Bananas is always seen as the one running the show and CT is like the muscle. I don't think anybody like looks at CT as like the key strategist or the linchpin in the alliance.
No, definitely not.
All roads lead to Bananas.
Yeah.
All right. So this is kind of, I didn't know where to put this question. It's kind of like now and later. Valerie Elise, feel free to pass. We'll come back. When is anyone going to target Bananas? I know he's typically sitting pretty, but I'm also getting a weird vibe from the editing this season. Would either of these opportunities be a good one to target Bananas or no?
I mean, I think the opportunity was in the Presidio, but it really came to Bananas' benefit that it was Derek who was the one who was kind of picked. Because like he's still has a, like that, kind of like an old survivor, like that old school, like loyalty mentality where he's just going to kind of, he has his guy, he's going to stick to his guy. Where if the roles were reversed and like, say Derek was in like the fivesome that won and Jordan was in the Presidio, I could see Jordan being the one like, all right, you know what? I'm taking my shot here. As opposed to Derek who wants to kind of stick with his guy.
And then just to clarify, CT has won 2 out of 12 challenges compared to Johnny's 6 out of 14. And if we want to even knock one out for when he had to leave with, Diem, so 2 out of 11, still puts this at a confusing choice. Yeah. So for the women, as you predicted, Kara is the one that's going to be going in, but I don't know that I expected sort of each of the three women, Kayla, Veronica, and Brittany, to sort of protect Jemmy for Veronica, Tori for Brittany, and Jenna for Kayla, and then that's how they'd arrive at this decision. Do you think that was just like bullshit or was that real?
Yeah, I kind of think that was more bullshit. And that was just along the lines of like, we all know where we're going and this is just kind of how we're going to end there. It was clearly just because Kara was like the top female competitor. And you want to get her out. Like that's, I don't know what the loyalty factor really had to matter there.
Yeah, I do kind of think it is when like three people who are not in an alliance are actively in opposing alliances. This is sort of like how you have to play it. Like, all right, everyone picks their one person that no one was actually going to go for anyway.
Right.
And we'll all feel better about it. I will say, this is where I started loving the episode, at the Redemption House, oddly enough.
Why?
Well, I loved how they opened with this Anissa Kara flashback from Bloodlines. And to me, that just sort of set up how this episode was going to be better than it's been in past seasons, where like they actually show you the references, they show you the relationships, which they started to do this season. But then like they also go through this like hyper levels of strategy. excuse me. That really, I think, start out here when they're all evaluating like what's going to happen. I loved the scene where Kayla is just like painting her nails black. Like there's nothing better. It's there's something so legit about talking about backstabbing someone and being vengeful than when you're painting your nails black. Like yeah. This episode's the most I've liked Kayla. I guess before I go through the entire episode of why I liked it point to point, I'm happy.
Yeah, the painting of the nails black was like right on nose. All she needed to do was like stirring a pot or stroking her broom or something like that, and then it would have been even more on the nose. Yeah,
I stroking her broom. That's amazing. What an image, like a cat on Dr. Evil's lap, just stroking a broom.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I thought the full-on discussion, the fact that Veronica had like a pen and paper and was like crossing people out, like, all right, this is like, who are definitely not going out, and like this is who they're going out. That scene was like a really top notch. The strategy of this season has finally, after last season, which was like a shit show of strategy where there was none, like this has been a great turnaround.
Can you explain to me why Kayla, though, and Veronica to me has the right method here? Okay, we take out a strong competitor because only one's coming back from redemption. Otherwise, this is a half measure. If you just throw in Jemmy here, you didn't do anything by getting Kara out. If you throw in somebody who has a chance to beat Kara or would be great for your game to get out, then you've done the full measure of making a big move. How Kayla can justify, I'm not playing my game looking at the Redemption House, is absolutely baffling.
Yeah, her logic there made no sense, because obviously you're looking to the Redemption House. That's why you sent Kara there. So I don't know what she was thinking there. But I don't agree with it. But for her perspective, and really more for Jenna's perspective, I do kind of get why at least Jenna would want Camilla not to go in. Because at the end of the day, Jenna is the one that could still be going into an elimination, and she would rather not go against Camilla in that moment. So I can understand why Jenna would be like, no, let's really maybe not push Camilla out because I don't really want to go against her. But Kayla should have been more the voice of reason there. Be like, sorry, Jenna, like we did this. I stuck my neck out. Taking our car, we have to do this here.
And it is like pretty surprising to me that Kayla does seem willing to sacrifice her game or her chance to win to have Jenna there with her, which I guess is noble, but to me it's stupid, especially in this situation, because Kara comes back, she's not mad at Jenna, she's mad at you.
Yep.
And that's on you, and Jenna will walk her way to the finale again, and you will go home because Kara is vengeful.
Yeah, which is exactly why Kayla needed to just be the one to step up and tell Jenna, like, I understand where you're coming from, but this is my neck right here on the line. So,
but did Jenna even say that? Like, I don't even know if Jenna would have blamed Kayla to a certain extent. It would have just been like, I think she kind of takes her lumps.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I'm just saying that when they were having the discussion, Kayla, not that even that Jenna was like strongly pushing, but Kayla should have just, that should have been her reason. Like, no, like we did the first measure taking out Kara. Is there a chance to guarantee taking out one and maybe taking out both if Anissa can somehow beat both of them?
But do you think that here's where we run into like a little bit of an issue when Camilla gets thrown in? If Tori pulls the double cross, is she sending Jenna in? Like, is that become a pact between Jenna and Tori? Like, one of us has to go in and take Camilla out? Because if they put in Jemmy, same result, and Kayla's pissed Camilla off.
Yeah, it's tough still to tell where exactly. I don't know where exactly Tori's allegiances lie fully. She's still, I mean, I guess that's kind of good for her that she seems like she's still kind of in the middle of like that power duo, right? Do you get a sense of where she lies?
Well, we did get Tony, Kayla, and Jordan all saying in this segment that they wouldn't vote for Tori. And then we also had Brittany Tori was attributed as Brittany's no vote female, for whatever we think that's worth in the initial deliberation for sending Kara home. So it does seem like Tori, Brittany and Jenna and Kayla are on different sides, but Tori has loyalties to both of those, or at least those women all have loyalties to Tori.
Yeah, so it could have been really interesting if Tori pulled a double cross, making her basically pick between the two sides, right? She would have had a pick between the Jenna side and the Camilla side.
I don't think she... Well, let's say Camilla... Oh, yes, this week, definitely. Yeah. I think that Tori probably would have sent in Camilla. But let's just say Camilla had gotten voted in. What, like, the only right. way that that works without pissing off... without getting Camilla angry at Kayla for no reason, which as ended up what happened, Tori or Jenna would have had to pick each other. And I just think with Jemmy on the board, that's unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, the best case that for Jenna and Kayla would have been if they voted in Camilla, Jemmy pulls the double cross and votes in Tori. Then one of Tori or Camilla is going to the redemption house with Kara, meaning one of them, maybe both, is going home.
But we already have an issue between Kayla and Jemmy and Jenna, and I don't think Jemmy would have put anyone in but Jenna.
Right. So, yeah, it's a very that's why this double cross was very cool. It's very new layer of gamesmanship.
One thing I will say when Veronica, and now I've said this 16 times, I will always say something. I don't know why I keep saying that. I loved how Kayla is saying to Brittany, like, we saved your ass, me, Camilla, and Jenna, and like, now you should vote with us or whoever. And Brittany is just like smiling and nodding, but not changing her vote. And what I think Brittany has mastered is something that people say to do on Survivor, which is like, play your social game, act cool to everyone in the house, and get your bitching out in confessionals. Like, Brittany then immediately cuts to a confessional of her being like, I don't care, bitch. Like, I'm playing my game. Like, that, I think Brittany's done all of her digs to the camera, not to the people. And I think she's done a good job in that respect.
Yeah, she's like the bizarro Amanda, where Amanda just says everything to your face and makes her the outcast. Brittany smartly says it to the camera, which may make her outcast like going forward. But it's easy to forget something when it's just said on like on a confessional as opposed to right to your face.
Yeah. But and so I think it's smart. I think it's like a new layer of the psycho sassy gal.
Yeah. I mean, I think Brittany's not, I mean, I thought she would do well, but I think she's really establishing herself as someone who I not only want to see back, but like I'm hoping gets even more play going forward.
And the show is hurting for strong female characters. So I don't think, you know, I think her performance up until now has been enough to guarantee a spot back, but we'll see. Yeah. So the most interesting thing that happens is the men's vote. Yes. Where, so Tony, Jordan, and Kayla all say that they would not vote for Leroy. And we have Tony Tony's first effort of actually trying to make good on protecting Hunter. He doesn't do a great job explaining the logic of why he should keep Hunter. He says like, oh, no one talked to me about my vote. Hunter talked to me. That's not really telling the group why they should pick Hunter. If anything, it's exposing an alliance that you have. But at least he is trying to make good on his word.
Yeah, it's weird with these group like discussions. It is hard to not reveal your true intentions. Like under the right, like Tony, I would not expect Tony to be able to come up with like a plausible reason to not vote in Hunter other than just basically coming out and saying like, yeah, me and Hunter are now like friends. Like that's just like the Tony move. So I wouldn't expect him to try to come up with a different layer about wanting to vote in Derek.
And then Veronica, on the other hand, is thinking like 2-3 moves ahead where she's like, I don't want to vote for Derek. I don't want to vote for Hunter because if Hunter goes in, Derek's at the bottom of the totem pole. Which we had some debate about that with the men up for a vote in. It would have been Leroy.
It would have been Leroy, Bananas, Derek if Hunter got voted in.
So that would have been an interesting way to see where those allegiances lie. Veronica's under the impression that Derek would have been the next one to go in. Certainly if Leroy pulled the double cross. And I'm inclined to think if Bananas pulled the double cross as well.
It would have been very interesting to see it play out. Oh, this was also very interesting, so I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, no. And then Veronica is like, okay, I'll settle for Hunter if it's between Hunter and Derek, because better to give Derek the chance to pull the double cross and not get sent in than just vote him in now to protect him. Right. That doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Give him the 1-3 shot.
But let's go through. Let's skip the female elimination. Whatever. It's Jemmy.
Yeah. Very, very, very easy.
Let's make time for the men.
Just quickly, it is amazing, though, that TJ really like has such sway, and I guess not TJ, whoever it is, like telling TJ who to talk to first, like whoever says the name first, it is like a big deal because it really does get the group think and the ball rolling, so which plays a factor with the guys too.
Yeah, no, it is true. I do love when TJ gets involved, and well, yeah, I guess who's exercising sway, but I'm just so anxious to talk about this this mailbook.
All right, so we start with the guy voting starts with Jordan voting for Hunter, and then this is where obviously things go rogue, where Brittany in a 1-0 vote thinks she's burning a vote on Leroy.
I will say there's a couple levels of this, but the first thing is, if you are burning a vote, let's say this went 4-1 Hunter and she voted Leroy. Leroy is not the guy, just like Camilla is not the gal to burn a vote on, because Leroy will not give you a pass. Leroy, when your name enters his mouth, will never forget this. So that originally is how I thought this was going to play out, that Leroy was just going to go apeshit, not apeshit, but like he was not going to forget this vote. So it's dumb on that level. And then the most I couldn't even have predicted, as these votes are being read, I never imagined this would have been the situation.
No, and that's kind of the genius. I don't think Veronica even thought about this as possibly until that vote happens. Then when Brittany votes for Leroy, then it's like, then she does the math in her head. It's like, wait a minute, I can just get a 2-2-1 tie here, and then we can cause chaos, which happens when Tony votes for Derek and Kayla votes for Hunter.
So my thing with this episode is the unsung blame, or whatever, the unsung hero or anti-hero of this story is Tony. Why is nobody talking about this? If Tony had voted for Leroy, I mean, for Hunter, then this would have been not an issue. That's the thing. Jordan, Tony, and Kayla were the supposed majority, and Brittany and Veronica were the outcasts. Tony is the one who allowed for this to happen. And when he says, Derek, I don't understand why the majority men's alliance isn't losing their shit over it. Like, what is happening that this is like an okay position? I think it's smart for Tony. It ends up being great. Get rid of Leroy, get no blood on your hands. But why is he getting away scot-free when he's really the one that allowed for the minority alliance that owes Leroy nothing to take him out?
Yeah, I feel like we missed the scene right after this where Bananas or even Leroy or whoever goes up to Tony and be like, what the hell happened? I thought, why did you go rogue again, not vote Hunter? I thought we were very clear. I mean, I imagine Tony, this conversation had to have happened, and Tony must have made it clear that, like, I could clearly see him on the bottom, but I'm surprised they didn't try to work to, like, convince him that he's not.
I don't know if they're just so, like, unafraid of Tony that they're just like letting this idiot savant like run wild. Like, there's no hiding the ball. He says in front of Jordan, I don't trust Derek, and Leroy, Hunter at least has been talking to me and trying to make an alliance. So why is that not of concern? Like, okay, Tony's now aligned with Hunter and is taking a shot at Derek, who's supposed to be one of your closest alliance members, and facilitates a way for Leroy to go out by switching his vote to Leroy.
Yeah.
You're not even going to vote Hunter in that situation to break the tie.
Yeah, no, it is amazing that Veronica was the one who got all the scorn when really, like, it was so, like, why would you expect Veronica not to do something to try to benefit her game? Where if Tony is the one that went rogue.
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy to me that this didn't get more play. But PJ Gahan says, scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you that Tony stuck to his guns twice and didn't say Hunter's name?
I mean, it's not even more so the surprise that I guess I was a little surprised because it is one thing to hear Tony say he's going to do it. But like you said, it's more the surprise that there was no outrage. Like, it was very clear based on what Tony was saying in the nomination discussion that he was going to follow through with this. It was just more so the fact that no one was pissed at him.
And and then by sending Hunter in, and I don't even think Hunter would have blamed him for a tie like this. Like, I tried, man, but I got nervous. It was going to be another tie and I didn't want to go in. I think this would have been like a good enough effort to keep his alliance with Hunter and to switch his vote from Derek to Hunter on the revote. But let's play this out too. So Hunter goes in and then it's Derek, Bananas, and Leroy up. You're safe and you get to let the rest of your alliance sort of establish themselves and not have to take the easy shot at Hunter. And then maybe there are cracks for you to maneuver if you think you're on the bottom. Like, let Bananas, Derek, or Leroy take a shot at each other, and then you're out of contention. You helped Leroy, and maybe you can move ahead. I didn't understand not switching his vote at all.
That is just, I kind of just thought once he fires that shot, you might as well just like follow through and continue it. Just go the way you were going. So, I mean, I kind of like, he already declared himself that he was on Hunter's side. So you might as well just like keep your feet stance.
I guess, you know? But I think you could even swing back and just say, like, I thought this was a burn vote too. I didn't imagine the switch. I'm going to make right on it. And like, hopefully we can move forward, man. I think Derek would have quote unquote respected it.
Yeah, he. But I don't know if you could sway it as a burn vote. I mean, like, based on what he said when he initially voted for Derek, like, it was just very clear, like, I'm now against you.
Yeah. I just think it's a strange, the whole thing was strange. I'm happy it happened from a television perspective. You're right. Maybe there was no backtracking, but it just seemed like no one cared at all. I will say, I do think it was a little dumb for Brittany to vote Leroy again in the revote. Also, probably dumber than Tony voting Leroy.
I mean, do you think maybe partly there wasn't a backlash from anyone else besides Leroy? Because maybe secretly deep down, they're like, it's maybe not the worst thing in the world that Leroy is going into elimination right now.
Yeah. Oh, I think people are thrilled.
Like bananas. Once they don't have to go in against him, they're probably like, this is not the worst thing in the world.
Well, we have this weird thing where from Twitter, there seems to be an understanding that three men and three women are going to make the final, and that there's going to be some combination of teams, and they don't know if it's going to be same sex or like from the conversation. So I don't know that they're like thrilled to see someone like Leroy go out necessarily. But if they are concerned about a big competitor keeping them from the final, then yeah, Leroy's like, this is a treat to see Leroy and Hunter go side by side.
Well, I think they're under the assumption that this final is going to be very similar to what Free Agents was, right? Where all three of them are going to switch up being paired with each of them for a different thing. And then they'll probably be a big individual factor.
Well, at least
that's
Kayla,
what I think they're under the assumption.
At least Kayla said when she was talking about Tori with Jordan, Tori versus Camilla later, like she does say, like, there are more challenges. If it's going to be a female team, I'd rather have Tori. So,
yeah,
who knows? But why I think Brittany was dumb for voting Leroy, in a way, results oriented, it worked out. But you know, Hunter's going to be double crossed if he doesn't go in now. And oh, no, I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. I thought he was, for some reason, Tony was up for... Never mind. Sorry. My notes were wrong.
Womp.
So I think it's fine for everyone. I just think not reacting to Tony's defecting is foolish on the part of the majority alliance.
Yeah. There you go.
Cha-cha-cha. We have a question. I will say Leroy was more angry at Veronica here than Camilla when she used the N-word repeatedly. Like, can we talk about that? Like, he was more pissed. We've never seen Leroy so pissed this season. And you would think that he wasn't viciously attacked.
This is the money. This is the moneymaker. This is what he's scared about. And I respect it. Good for him. He's focused on the money.
Graham Gates says, how much of this was a good move by Veronica and how much of this was a bad move by Brittany saying Leroy's name?
I think it was, I mean, I would have to give more credit to Veronica because a lot of other people wouldn't even have noticed this opportunity and to capitalize it. So I would give Veronica more credit.
I give her all the credit because Brittany just said it literally as a burn vote because she didn't want to say Hunter's name. And that's why she voted that way in the revote too. A lot of people don't have the stones to do what Veronica did and recognize that their target is already huge. So they might as well take the shot while they have it. Like, if you're not first, you're last. So who cares if you go out as a result of a mistake here than if you go out in a couple weeks anyway. But can we just talk about burn votes in general? Like, a lot of people on the internet are furious, like, finally a burn vote, like, burn someone and burn vote, whatever. Do you care about this in general?
I not really. I mean, no, I think it is still risky to do it early on in this type of scenario when there's so few votes to go around. Like, if you're doing this nine people voting, like, no one really cares where someone else would vote for, but there's five votes, like, one vote is, you know, you're almost at a majority. So you got to be very careful, I think.
I don't consider these burn votes. Like, I know they're burning it, but it's not a burn vote. It's just a minority vote against the majority. So it's like, I don't have the majority here. I'm going to vote for who I wanted to send in. No hard feelings. This is where I stand. You knew it anyway. Like, I don't get the whole concept of, like, I'm not voting for you and I'm voting for someone else. Like, you're still showing where your allegiances lie, and you should be able to do that in case something like this happens. Like, I think it's smart. I don't think TJ should be getting pissed about it.
No, I mean, I think TJ just gets pissed about it because he doesn't like when people don't, like, stand by their vote. So if he's like, if you want to vote for Leroy, vote for Leroy. Don't give a weak ass, like, oh, I'm just, like, voting for anyone.
I guess that's true. Like, Tony probably thought his vote was a burn vote, but still was like, this is why I'm voting for Derek.
Yeah.
I also love Jemmy saying, I enjoyed this way more than I thought I would. Same girl, same.
Yeah. Jemmy's great. She had another line where she was like, someone like called her out for lying. And she's like, yeah, I did that. Okay, this makes sense.
Oh, yeah. That was great, too, because he's like, Kayla's like, you lied to my face.
Yeah, Kayla.
And she's like, you're right. You said you wanted Nicole. And I said, yeah, I'll probably vote for her. And then I did it.
And then I did it. Oops. Okay.
Which, again, in a double cross situation, not that Jemmy needs any more defense, is the right thing to do. Lie in the event that you don't pull the double cross.
Yep.
All right.
Exactly.
Any surprise here with them wanting Camilla in over Tori?
A little bit. I mean, Tori's like shown very well, but this is still her first season. We don't really know, like, endurance wise, how she may stack up. So it is a little surprising. I can understand now if their reasoning is they don't want to like deal with Camilla in a final. I can understand that because she's obviously a horrible person to deal with.
I also think like it was undersold it whether or not Camilla was already pissed at Kayla and Jenna over Kara going home. Because like you figure you pick Camilla, she's already pissed about the Kara thing. Like, to me, why was Camilla surprised here? They drew the line earlier in the episode.
I don't know. If you're expecting Camilla to be rational, you're looking at the wrong girl.
Great point. Emily Crow says, I was so happy when Jordan yelled about Camilla being the worst in his confessional. At least he still remembers what she said to Leroy. Allie Lasher, what did you think of someone finally putting Camilla on blast? Here's what I'll say. Jordan did not put Camilla on blast. Jordan mentioned it. Like, this was not a public Camilla's on blast. It looks like Tori might put Camilla on blast next week. Looking forward to that.
Yes.
As far as this, I'm not really impressed. I think it should have been made more explicit to Camilla. Jordan himself suffered for drunk idiot ways. It's not enough really to just like say it in the confessional.
Yeah, because I mean, so clearly that Camilla wasn't being voted in because of what she did. She was being voted in because they voted in her very strong partner in Kara, and they wanted to try to get them both out. Like, they weren't vote like that. Like, those are two separate events about what Camilla did and why she was voted in here.
As yeah, opposed no, to Jordan, definitely.
Which was like very directly a result.
All right. So anything else before we get to the elimination?
No. Let's look at a headbanger.
As they walk down, Hunter, Derek, and Bananas, Tori, Camilla, and Jenna, I was just like, whoo, doggy. Like, this is going to be amazing. And it mostly was.
Yeah. I mean, this is like the typical, let's line these people up and have them run right into each other challenge. So these very rarely disappoint.
No, I was excited to see that, too. A variation on Hall Brawl. We will break down what we think of the challenge, but let's first break down the double cross.
So for the guys, yeah, I mean, we kind of discussed it about Derek. So Derek pulls it, and between Hunter and Bananas, he goes Hunter. So where do you think that is a mistake?
Yeah, Edward Morris said, even though Hunter beat Leroy, should Derek have picked Bananas? My evaluation of it was, if you put Bananas in and you're the low man on the totem pole already, which I suspect Derek is. I know we don't necessarily see eye to eye on that. Leroy or Bananas are definitely coming back. If you put Bananas in, yes, Leroy, Bananas coming back, and you have a new majority of Tony and Hunter and Derek with Leroy or Bananas and Jordan. But that's so temporary because you know CT or the exit person of Leroy Bananas are going to come back, and then you're in trouble. So I kind of think at this point for Derek, Hunter's a crazy competitor that you already don't have a relationship with. You might as well take the shot at him and just stay the course for now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think it does. I think if Derek goes after Bananas, then he's kind of a man without an island. Like, I guess he could try to like butter up now to the Hunter and Tony side. I mean, I guess they would take him. I don't see why they wouldn't. But really, he's not really in with them. And now he's out with the Bananas and whoever comes back crew. So, yeah, he would be in a tough spot. I think he kind of just has to stick with where he's at.
Yeah, no, I agree, too. Good to see we're eye to eye on this. I like when we disagree, but I like when we're on the same page. And then Jenna for the women pulls it. I will say, if Hunter was almost anyone else in terms of ability, if Hunter was Nelson, if Hunter was Tony, if Hunter was just anyone below Hunter's level, I would have said the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that the person that is against Derek in an alliance is also a very good competitor. So it's not like Hunter is going to be that easy to get out later on anyway. So,
right, exactly.
Yep.
And then Jenna pulls, or I guess Jenna doesn't pull it. Jenna pulls it by default.
Yeah, by default. I think this is the first one we've had by default.
Yeah, it is.
Can you recall? So there's you. There you go. There's a fun fact of the day.
Boom. There you go. I don't even want to talk about Camilla's reaction, and neither really did the edit, because Camilla has been edited out besides absolute necessity now in these episodes.
Yeah, it is wild how little they're trying to show over, and I'm not really going to complain. Like, this is, I mean, it's like, it's just like painful now to watch, which is exactly why she should have just been sent home when this all went down. Cause it's like distracting from the whole situation.
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree. And this put me at a place where I was just like, oh my God, would I love for Jemmy to take her out right now?
Yeah.
I wasn't hopeful, but I would have loved it.
No. Yeah. I mean, I thought it would have been quite the stunner if Jemmy pulled this off. This is not the Jemmy wheelhouse of an elimination.
No, certainly not. But what is?
Yeah, good point. Drinking in New Orleans, maybe?
No shame in that. Go on Ari the Lawn. I mean, that's what's happening every week on Ari the Lawn.
Yeah. Again, I'm not taking the anti-alcohol stance. We've been down this road before.
And what do you think of the Tory selfie cam? That's a new one.
Yeah, I don't know. Do they always give cameras to the people who were like chosen not to go into elimination? I feel like this is the first time we've seen something like that.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it. It's a very bananas thing to have done, to be able to get like a GoPro situation.
Good for her.
But this is a lesson in how you transcend like being Are You the One stigma and enter the majority flawlessly. Just be good. Go ahead.
Be good. Be entertaining. Be likable. Tori checks every single box. I think everyone is on Tori's bandwagon.
Yeah. Have a great challenge showing in the challenges. Stay the course with the votes. Stay neutral. Stay social. And you're good.
Bingo.
We solved it. Thank you, Tori. I will say, I love this evolution of Hall Brawl. I was really getting, I don't know why I keep saying I will say. It's so annoying. I'm annoyed too, guys, so sorry. I was literally getting anxiety at the setup that you can't see your opponent. Like, that small change is so freaking genius.
I know. I'm glad they didn't. I thought they were going to be running like full steam the first time through, and I'm like, this is not going to end well. I'm glad they were kind of close to it, because otherwise, I mean, we see Hunter basically break his hand anyway, but I think people like would have gotten seriously hurt if they were just having like these full like linebacker size guys running full speed through like a closed door that they're going to smash through. Like, that's, I mean, I like physical violence on my MTV show sometimes, but that would have been a little too much.
I was literally watching this with like my jaw on the floor. This was such an incredible series of rounds. I thought Leroy had it the first round, and it to come down to a hundredth of a second, it was just so incredible. Such athleticism, like people who say the challenge is a sport. This really exemplified that.
Yeah, it was great. It was very entertaining. I was very impressed with Hunter. I thought this was like his like real coming out party, as like, okay, this guy can maybe go ahead and win this, or if he doesn't win this, he could win one in the future, because he could, I mean, of all the eliminations, like, this would be something that Leroy would be heavily favored over just about anyone. So the fact that he beat him and beat him in both rounds is very impressive.
If you were not scared before, you are scared now. This was, except for the fact that he broke his hand on Leroy's hard bod, I feel like Hunter seemingly unstoppable after this. I also loved Hunter's persistence, where they're like, you need an x-ray. And he's like, let me just ice it for 30 minutes to an hour. Let me just put some Windex on it and we're good.
A future Hunter will deal with it. Right now, let me just ice it.
I love that. And I was upset when John is recounting like how many dumb injuries people have gone home for. I was like, where is the dumb injury montage?
Yeah.
I wanted like a slow-mo black and white of just all the bullshit.
I know, but to be fair to Hunter, this is not, I wouldn't characterize this as a dumb injury. Like, we've had Dustin like slipping on the stairs and like breaking his knee. Like, that's a dumb injury. That's, for this, like, I wouldn't even be mad at Hunter if he had to get sent home because of this.
No, I agree. I just think he more meant like it was, it's like stupid that this has to take you out in general.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right. This was not, you know, you just can't come up against a tank with your fists blazing or you'll get your fingers broken.
Yep.
Do we think this is going to rear its ugly head, or you think Hunter is still going to be all right?
I don't know. That did not look good. His wrist was like blown up really quickly. I think he's going to be sent home, unfortunately.
Ooh. I don't know. I hope he's not. I think if anyone can like refuse an X-ray and just play on, it's Hunter. But this will shed some unfortunate light on Anissa's sprained ankle, because if Hunter does have to go home, clearly they don't just like let you elect to stick around.
Well, didn't they let Kara like keep competing with a cast on her hand that one time? So maybe they'll just let him compete with like a cast on his wrist.
I mean, MTV wants to keep taking a page out of CBS's book. Go send him for surgery and bring him back.
There you go. Give him the crutches.
So the ladies' elimination gives us a lot less to talk about.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the more so is just Camilla being a complete asshole after she won, flipping everyone off and just being someone you do not want to see on your television screen anytime more for probably the rest of your life.
Amen. I wrote down Jemmy tries, but nah. That's my notes from this. Ashley Bedazowicz says, did it look like Jemmy was barely running in that elimination? I knew she wasn't winning, but it also kind of looked like she wasn't really trying that hard to me.
Unfortunately, that is probably Jemmy trying as hard as she possibly can.
That's what Will Simon said in the comments too. Like, that's the most athletic exertion she has. I died.
Yeah. So there you go.
Who do you have coming back from redemption between CT or Leroy?
It's I almost kind of need to see what the challenge type thing is. Like, I mean, I guess I would give the edge to CT just because I think he's a more all around competitor. I could, based on the fact that I just don't know what it is. So I would lean CT. But I mean, each of them, even going by the edit, like, they've each had pretty good edits. Like, it would be a real shame if, like, for all the talk we've had, Leroy, this is his winner edit. This is, like, he was talking all this time about how, you know, he's finally want to win one, and then he just goes home like this, and then boom, like, that would be kind of disappointing.
These are the two guys of the whole season, probably, that I wouldn't have wanted to see in this position.
Yeah.
Like, almost anybody, I think anybody else this season, I wouldn't have given two craps about. That's what happens when I root for someone, you know? In life and in the challenge.
Yeah, don't like people. Just hate everyone.
Jemmy's gone for good. Like, let's be real about this. Because Jemmy says, like, oh, anyone's game. Or Anissa said something like that. Like, no, it's not. This is Kara's game. Unless one more person goes to redemption before they battle back.
And what is Jemmy talking about that she's going to get to the redemption house and scheme to get back? What is she talking about? There's no voting.
I will say she walked in right away and said, was to having Kara's ear about how it was really Kayla's fault. So she is playing from inside the redemption house for Veronica and Brittany back in the game, with Kara at least with the odds on favorite to get back in, at least really beef her up to come back pissed at Kayla.
Right. Right.
It's not exactly scheming to get back in, but it is scheming to help your folks on the inside.
I guess so.
I wrote down a predicted answer of yours for the next question. Jeremy Barton said, how mad will you be when Bananas wins the season without going into an elimination?
Are we playing like Match Game right
now?
Yeah. Is that rigid Match Game? I'll be very impressed because that's the name of the game. You're not supposed to go into elimination.
I wrote, Brian will say not going into an elimination is good gameplay.
There you go.
I think that's a match.
Dang.
Eddie.
I mean, do you disagree? Like, that's a fact.
I understand that it's like everyone, forget that. It's not even just in the challenge. In every competition in life, it's exciting to root for the underdog, the person like Hunter who has fought and clawed his way through impressive victory after impressive victory to get to the top. I won't be pissed if Bananas wins, but I understand why Bananas doesn't have a huge rooting section right now. Because A, he's not doing much in general. On camera.
Yeah, this has been one of his quieter seasons ever.
And it's also been one of the best.
Ooh, well, interesting.
Eddie Glacken says, with the drama infused by old blood Veronica this season, what are the chances we get back more old school players in the future? Cough Coral.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big breakthrough last year was with how well Darrell did. And then, I think Veronica doing this well is great to see. So
I kind of think that's, I mean, the trend is they're bringing like anyone ever back between any show, anyone that's ever been on television can get a call. So that also applies to old school challenge people.
Yeah, I think this definitely makes the case for Veronica to come back, at least if not a million other old school people, because I was kind of waiting on her in the beginning. She's not getting a lot of play. She's in the bottom of the alliances. CT saying she's the last person he'd want on the team. This, to me, is Veronica's real breakout moment for coming back. She was the first one eliminated on Champs versus whatever you said. I forget what you said. It's so funny.
Pros versus Joes.
Yeah, pros versus Joes. And so I think this at least solidifies her her spot in future shows if she wants it.
Yeah, I mean, considering she was a complete dud on the other Champs versus thing, so this is great to say.
And then some predictions. Humby says also Camilla's totally winning this, right? She's been edited as invisible so people forget what a shitty person she is and not be so angry as when she wins.
I don't know. I mean, they brought her back for like the next, like the next champs thing. So I don't know if they didn't anticipate like this reaction or what, but because if they really hated her, why would they bring her back for this next season? So I don't know if I'm buying the full on like hiding the edit type thing. I'm buying it somewhat, but I don't know if it's because she wins.
I think it's very possible that she might win. I just think her being invited back for champs versus whatever, Joes versus pros, is ridiculous and a real lapse in judgment on MTV's part. But I also like, was that filmed before this was edited? Like, it was so, weren't they like asked back while they were still on the show? It definitely wasn't after they saw the response. Like, I almost think that Camilla might have been edited to look worse after they eliminated her from Joes versus Pros. Maybe. My timeline might be completely off.
Yeah, I mean, it was just amazing that it would take like a viewer response to know what Camilla did this season would be bad.
I don't think it's a viewer response. I think they care about how she acted on Joes versus Pros. I think that's right. What sealed her fate. I don't think they really give a shit about her treatment of Leroy, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
All right. So we covered the news. We have a little bit of Twitter stuff. While I pull it up, any predictions for next week or as we head closer into the final?
I kind of thought we would have the redemption house next week because there's now three people there, right? 3-3. So I kind of thought we would have it next week. It doesn't seem that way, though.
It's 3-2, right? Because of Nelson.
Oh, that's right. So, all right. So then it'll be 4-3. So that's kind of a tough break for the girls that they have to compete against someone extra.
Wait, am I wrong?
Or is it 3-3?
Who's the third person? No, 3-3, there? Right. They still had an elimination. Yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, I forgot about Dario. How shocking. I'm so sorry.
So I don't know. Maybe it'll be 4-4 for the final redemption house reboot. So
it's really 1-2.
Yeah, I mean, it's really CT versus Leroy and Kara coming back.
Yeah. Okay, so our digital communications manager, Megan Schultz, or Megan Elizabeth, sent us some stuff from Twitter, including a tweet of her own that went slightly viral. I thought this is hilarious. She said, and I say slightly viral, no dig. Like, this is viral for me, but probably not viral for, like, Kayla, but viral for us. We count it. I don't know what Camilla and Tori are fighting about, but I'm already on Tori's side. Amen. Kayla tweeted some stuff. She said, Camilla, no one is scared of you. We clearly knew who would win. As Jenna said, that wasn't the point. The point was to break ties. Well, now you know why Kara hates me.
There's a lot of plenty of other reasons to also hate Kayla.
I will but say I didn't understand. I didn't understand the breaking ties thing until Jenna tweeted, we just felt played, end of story. Three girls make it to the final. There was four of us. It's almost the end. We need to watch out for ourselves. So I guess that's like breaking the 2-2. It was like Kayla and Jenna are going to go forward. Kara and Camilla are going to go forward. And only three of them can make it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. If I were Jenna and Kayla, I wouldn't want to go up against Kara or Camilla. Just why would you have to when you could bring Tori then just take out Brittany and Jemmy later?
Yep.
Or now.
Totally agree. Totally.
And then the WTF news segment of the week is that Tori and Jordan posted a video that Michaela from Are You the One is in the background. It's called Getting Vibey with My Tribe. And it is.
Wait, Michaela from where?
Michaela from Are You the One and Second Chances. She was with Cameron, she has the fake booty. Yeah. So Tori posted, once upon a time, Jordan, Kyle, and Tori sat in a living room and smoked a little kush, thus giving birth to this fantastic song. Thanks to special listening guests, Sean and Michaela. I don't know who Sean and Kyle are, but whatever. So it's just like them singing like mashup acoustic songs. I think they do Tom Petty song. They do Migos song. They do Trap Queen. And it's like not bad. Tori's much better than Jordan, but Jordan's no slouch.
Yo, it's stupid, out, like, but singles and stuff when Are You the One season launched. I vaguely remember that.
No, Tori does music. Like she puts music out. But Jordan was really the surprise. That's not bad. I mean, it's stupid, but it's not. I've seen worse.
What a plug.
That's it.
There you go. Do you have anything for yourself or any other podcasts you're hopping on?
No, I just did the RHAP B&B, which is a lot of fun. But no, just this and Are You the One, my two main gigs.
All right. So you can rate, subscribe, all that stuff at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at @ColinBryan_. They can follow you.
You can follow me on Twitter at @LashTweets, and you can follow me on the TV Party app at @Ally.Lasher. Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Look into it.
Okay. We'll be back next week for an ungodly episode 14. Until then, have a good one.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.